Good morning. A couple weeks ago, I started a message on Christian apparel, and I would like to finish that message today. By the way, I did a message on these verses back in 2004. They're on the website. So I'm not repeating that same message. I'm adding a little bit to it. In our first message, we addressed the adornment of jewelry. And we showed how the Bible does not condemn, it does not forbid women from wearing jewelry. Obviously, a Christian woman, a godly Christian disciple of Jesus Christ, does not want to wear jewelry in an excessive way. A way which brings and draws unnecessary attention to herself. That is not something that a Christian lady should have in her intentions to do when she wears jewelry. She should not want to flaunt. She should not want to show off her wealth, her status. And that is what we see with worldly women today when they wear lots of jewels, and lots of diamonds. They have a purpose in why they're wearing what they're wearing. Jewelry in itself, in moderation, is not sinful. And it was worn by those throughout the Bible times. And God approved of it. It enhanced the natural and feminine qualities of a woman. And by the way, nowhere in the Scriptures do we ever see a woman deliberately trying to hide her beauty. There will be some statements today in my message that you might not agree with, and that's fine. I don't think this is a point of division, but if you want to make it that, then that's up to you. But there is nowhere in the Scriptures where a woman deliberately is commanded to by God, or in her own will, tries to hide her beauty. Beauty in itself is not evil. Keep that in mind. The Bible recognizes beautiful women. Beautiful women who were beautiful in appearance. Sarah, Abraham's wife, according to the Scriptures, was a beautiful woman. And Abraham, nor Sarah, never tried to hide her beauty. She did not wear a burqa. I hope I said that right. A burqa? Burqa? So men could not see her beauty. In fact, if you remember correctly, when they went down to Egypt, Abraham did not tell Sarah to hide her beauty. But instead, I want you to tell them that you are my sister. Abraham knew that the men of Egypt would see her beautiful appearance and recognize it and acknowledge it. Now, I don't think Sarah went down to Egypt wearing a bikini. She did not go down to Egypt wearing a burqa. The point is this, and by the way, Abraham did not have her dress in rags, looking dumpy. The point is this, the men of Egypt saw her physical beauty. Her physical appearance was attractive, even in the modest clothing that was worn at that time. Rebecca was a beautiful woman in Genesis 24:16, Genesis 26:7. Abigail, according to the Scriptures, in 1 Samuel 25:3, was recognized and acknowledged as a beautiful woman. Esther was a beautiful woman in Esther 2:7. Job's daughters in Job 42:15 and all the land were found no more so beautiful as the daughters of Job. God inspired a whole book in the Bible that vividly describes the physical beauty of a woman's appearance. Read the Song of Solomon. Please understand, the shape of a woman and her physical beauty is not a mistake made by God. Although it is not to be exploited to do evil. It is not a curse. It is not evil. And the Bible does not require a woman to be beautiful. Understand that. The Bible does not require a woman to be beautiful physically. But also, it does not tell a beautiful woman to conceal or hide her beauty. Make herself look ugly. Nowhere in the Bible. If God did, a woman would have to not only cover her arms and her legs, but she would have to cover the most beautiful thing, the most attractive thing about a woman is their face. So it's very clear when you read the Bible, the ancient Hebrews apparently placed, as one writer says, they placed apparently a high value on a woman's virtuous character and her fertility than on her physical beauty. But that's not to say that they did not look upon a woman's beauty with appreciation. In saying all that, we do see another kind of beauty that all women are to seek after. And that is an incorruptible inner beauty. Let's read these passages one more time. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. It is clear that these passages must be read, as we taught 2 weeks ago, as idioms of speech. Basically, if you read this passage without an idiom, and you say that there are things in this passage that never can be done, it would also mean that the woman can never literally put on apparel. That means that she would have no clothes on at all. These two passages are not forbidding women from wearing anything. Both Paul and Peter are telling women where to put their focus. That is the issue of these two passages. Paul and Peter is telling women where to put their focus. The focus is the issue. It is the woman, for the most part, who will have a tendency to put much focus, too much focus, on the outward adornment. She will be addicted to a fashion, or addicted to fashion, what they look like, what they wear, and they will end up neglecting the most important part, their inward character. And these passages emphasize that a godly woman's focus should be on her inward character, not only her outward appearance. That does not mean that a woman should let her physical appearance go out the window. Looking dull, dowdy, downright unattractive, in the name of the Spirit. That is Gnostic teaching. That is not Bible teaching. Gnostics taught that there was this division between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the body is evil, and the spirit is good. The Bible does not make this kind of dualism between the body and the spirit. The Hebrew thought was that man was made as a whole. He was looked upon as a whole being. There was no division between the invisible and visible. He was a whole. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is as a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we glorify God not only in our spirit, but in our body. It's been bought with a price. A godly Christian woman is to put her priority on the inward ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, Peter says. She is to put her focus on godliness and good works, Paul says. Don't ever neglect your inward focus by putting too much attention and time on the outward. Don't ever do it, ladies. A woman's whole world should not be focused upon what she wears. Though she wears clothing, yes, she should be more concerned about wearing attitudes. She should be more concerned about wearing character of holiness, of righteousness, of sobriety. Her outward adornment should not be something she treasures the most. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount told us what we should treasure the most. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." When women get caught up in how they appear and start spending money excessively on expensive jewelry so everyone can see how glamorous they are, there is something wrong. Their hearts are treasuring the things of this world. The latest fashion and style should not be a Christian's ambition. It should not be a Christian's dream. Nothing in this temporal world should ever take priority over Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first. Priority. True lasting beauty is godly character. Proverbs 11:22 says, "A ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion." Proverbs 31:30 says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." True beauty, Peter says, is not in the corruptible things of this world, but rather in the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, in the sight of God. Today I want to look at what Paul called modest apparel. 1 Timothy 2:9, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." As you can see in this verse, or if you heard me say it, Paul does not go into exact details on what modest apparel is. He does not give any measurements. He does not tell us what kind of material to use. He does not say anything about a color, a certain color, or a certain style that your clothes should be. He leaves it very much open. Unfortunately, there are certain Christian circles who have taken it upon themselves to tell women what they think modest apparel is. They have made absolute standards where the Bible does not. But as we can see here, Paul does not describe to us what modest apparel exactly is. He left it to be a relative issue. What modesty is for one person may be different for another. Also, from culture to culture, modesty may be different. Also, there's the time factor. The time factor. Clothing styles change over periods of time. I personally believe why Paul did not define for us what exactly modesty in apparel is. He did not give us a certain Christian costume to wear for the ladies, a Christian wardrobe, a Christian dress code with all the colors and measurements and styles that was acceptable and pleasing to God. The reason he didn't do that was because he knew it was a relative issue. It was meant to be a relative issue depending upon the time you live in and the culture you live in. And some might not like to hear that this morning. They want to stand on the absolutes. And I am a man for absolutes. I love absolutes. But I'm not going to stand where there are no absolutes presented. If anybody's been in this church long enough, they know that I love absolutes. But when scriptures do not make an absolute standard on an issue, then I'm not going to take it upon myself and do it for God. Let's keep in mind, only the scriptures, only one person in all the scriptures, God commanded to wear a certain kind of clothing. He gave the exact details, exact measurements, fabric to be used, how it was to be worn. He did not leave it to Israel and what they thought was good. They did not take a vote upon it. And that was the wardrobe of the high priest. Nowhere else do we find in the scriptures where any of God's people recognized or stood out distinctly from the normal customs of their day by a particular clothes or fashions that they wore. In other words, they fit right in with the culture and times. The Bible, as much as I wish there was, because I'm that kind of a person, my personality, the Bible does not give an inflexible, uniform clothing code. Clothing styles change. They vary from one culture to another. And God does not specify the style of clothing to be worn by His people. If He did, we would all still be wearing what Adam and Eve wore back in the Garden of Eden. And by the way, Adam did not wear pants. And Eve did not wear a dress. The Bible does not specifically give any certain color of the clothing. People in the Bible wore clothing of different colors. As far as style goes, there were various robe style, toga style garments that were worn. No certain style of clothing is commanded. Understand, in the days of the Roman Empire, there were different styles of clothing at the time of Jesus. Peter and Paul, the apostles, traveled through areas that had cultural customs that were different from their Hebrew roots. But nothing is ever mentioned about certain clothing fashions to avoid. Even in the sensual climate of Rome and Greek culture of their day. And it was a sensual climate. You read the history of the Roman and Greeks. Nothing is ever mentioned about certain fashions to avoid. Even in the city of Corinth. Corinth was known for promiscuity, for perversion, prostitution. Nothing mentioned specifically about the certain clothes to avoid at the stores in Corinth. Even at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, when the apostles in the church in Jerusalem had to make certain decisions about what was required of Gentiles who became Christians, they discussed it. They went over it. Not one single thing came out of that meeting concerning adornment or apparel. And these were heathen that were coming into the church, that were getting converted. I find it very interesting. No conditions, no restrictions were mentioned in that conference, in that convention. My conclusion is this. It was not something the churches focused on. And I'm not going to make it a focus in this church. There are obvious more important issues in the Christian life than what clothes one chooses to wear. There are issues more weighty, more serious than what I choose to wear and how I wear them. A dress code. The Berean Bible Church dress code. Jesus never dressed His disciples to wear what to wear or to not to wear. Understand this, a committed disciple of Jesus Christ who's devoted to learning His commands of Scripture, he's gaining knowledge, he's gaining spiritual awareness, he has moral sensibility of what is right, what is wrong, his conscience becomes sensitive to sin because of the light of the Word of God that he is allowing to form his conscience. And spiritual maturity gives one the power, the ability to make good judgments on what is good, what is evil, what is light, what is darkness. That they may know how to refuse the evil and choose the good, Isaiah 7:15. So my point is this, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ, we're able to discern what the word modest means. And God leaves that to you. Some churches give standards of how long the skirt should be, how the elbows should be covered at all times. Frankly, I never found anything attractive in women's elbows. I find the face way more attractive, way more a temptation than elbows. I think we can know something about the phrase modest apparel by looking at the word modest. I want to read some of these definitions, and they're available on the internet. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines modest, observing the proprieties of dress and behavior. Decent are appropriate. Encarta Dictionary, reasonable, not large, are extreme, are excessive. Not showy, elaborate, pretentious. Not overtly sexual. Webster's 1913, not forward, bold, boastful, rather retiring than pushing oneself forward. Webster's 1828, moderate, not excessive or extreme. Devine's Dictionary of the Greek New Testament, orderly, well-arranged, decent. In looking at these definitions, something really stands out. And I think many well-meaning people have missed it. Modesty is not restricted only to clothing that is revealing, that is sexual, but also includes bizarre and an odd-looking appearance. If I stood up here this morning wearing what Adam wore in the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago, I would not be dressed modestly. Coats of skins would be rather bizarre. Coats of skins would be strange by today's standards of dress, by customs of this culture. And therefore, I would be dressing immodestly. I don't care how much skin it covered. If I dressed this morning in the clothes that Jesus wore, by the definition of modesty, I would be dressing immodestly. I would be showy. I would be drawing attention to myself. And by definition, that is immodest apparel. In America, we have a group of people, and they are sweet people. And I respect a lot of what they believe for and what they stand for. I love their raw milk. And I love their butter. They are called the Amish people. And they dress in styles from over 100 years ago. And it's not overtly sexual. They cover most of their skin from exposed sunlight, which, by the way, has been proven to cause health problems. The ladies in Saudi Arabia have rickets. They have all kinds of problems with their bones. It's a medical problem because vitamin D deficiency. They're not getting sunlight, exposure of sunlight to their skin. Anyways, that's another story. But according to the definition of modest, Amish people are dressing immodestly. Why? Because their style of dress stands out. It's weird. It's bizarre. It attracts attention. It's strange looking. People turn their heads. Man, what's that guy wearing? Looks like George Washington. That says a normal American doesn't know anything about. Some Americans are so oblivious to what Amish people are, they think it's George Washington walking down the street. Christianity is not about looking like you are from another time period. Christians never wore bizarre clothing from another era. What did they wear? They wore clothing that matched the times they were living in. Modest apparel should blend in with the times that we are living in. If it does not, I don't care how much skin you might cover, according to the definition of modest, You are being immodest. There are plenty, there are numerous fashions to wear today in the modern world that are modest, meaning that they cover skin, they're not overtly sexual, and they are not odd-looking. You're not wearing a tent or something. It is possible to be modest and fashionable. And if you were to wear these clothes outside, people would not pick you out of the crowd and say, that's overtly sexual. Or that's something no one wears today. There is a normal way to dress today that is decent, that is appropriate, and that is discreet. That's not sexual, that's not outlandishly out of fashion. This leads me next to the next controversial issue. Some people in Christian circles believe that pants, that slacks, should not be worn by women. And they see it to be an abomination to God. The verse is found in Deuteronomy 22:6. It says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." I find that when Christians pick and choose verses out of the law of Moses, such as this one, and they attempt to make it a Christian standard, that they run into a lot of trouble with their interpretation. Keep in mind, in the previous chapter, Deuteronomy 21, 8 verses from this passage, God commanded Israel to stone a rebellious child. Why not apply that also in the churches of Jesus Christ? Same context. Why are we all selective all of a sudden to find certain passages that we want to hold as a holy standard and then forget about the rest of them? Do not pick and choose according to your own set of standards. If you're going to pick and choose from the law, pick the whole law. Unless Paul or Jesus or one of the apostles take a verse from the law and apply it as a command under New Covenant, we have no right to say that these passages need to be fulfilled today. But that's not my total argument. Their conclusion from this passage is that pants worn only by men and dresses only worn by women. If a woman wears slacks or pants, she is wearing that which pertains to a man, and it's an abomination to God. If you think and reason and look at the context and even the Hebrew words, this interpretation is absolutely ridiculous. It's outright bizarre. There are a lot of problems if you try to use this verse to forbid Christian women from wearing pants. Your intentions might be well, and I'm sure they are. First of all, no one at the time when Moses wrote Deuteronomy, male or female, wore trousers or pants that we wear today. So right off, pants can't be considered the focus of this verse. No one in the Bible wore pants like we do today. So it's not a subject of the Bible. Dresses did not even exist at that time. Jewish men wore the robes. Not pants. And the Jewish women wore the robes also, with certain feminine distinctions that made them feminine. They did not wear European or American dresses. If we're going to bind the customary style of clothing of any time period on women, should we also not do that with men? Should not all Christian men wear robes as well as Christian women? If robes are less revealing and more proper for women, would not the same true hold for men also? It's interesting, the Hebrew word man in this verse in Deuteronomy 22, it only appears here in all of Deuteronomy. Geber is the Hebrew word. It speaks of a warrior. It speaks of a man of war. Adam Clark, in his commentary, noted that the two Hebrew words imply the arms are instruments of a man. Gebar is usually used in Strong's dictionary, usually used to speak of a strong man or a soldier. Therefore, armor is likely the intended point here. And Adam Clark goes on to say, among us the worship to false goddess Venus and Astaroth, women often wore armor of men. Women we required to appear in such armor would be required. Women would be required to appear in such armor before the goddess, before their armies went to war, as a sacrifice or devotion to the gods. I totally agree that a woman should dress like a woman in feminine manner and not like a man. And men dress like men in a masculine manner and not like a woman. The both clothing, both should be modest. Now, some have an argument that say that pants were originally worn by men only. That's very debatable. There is great argumentation on both sides. All I know is this. If I went down over here to CP at a woman's clothing store as a man, I would find nothing in that woman's clothing store suitable for me to wear as a man. Even their pants. It is absolutely true there are many forms and styles of slacks and pants for women that are indeed very immodest. And they're made that way. And they're worn that way. But the same goes for man. Pants, shirt, dresses, skirts, all these things can be worn in a sensual manner. The drop of the neckline, a shirt that exposes the stomach, tight pants, etc. And please don't tell me this morning that a woman cannot know when her pants are not tight. Please don't tell me that. Why can men have no problem in determining when their pants are too tight, but yet for some reason a woman cannot? I think it insults the intelligence of a woman. An insult to a woman that can't understand when her pants are too tight. There are modest forms of pants for women, just as there are modest forms of pants for men. As you can see, there's plenty of room in my pants. They're not painted on my legs this morning. Also, if a time period sets the standard, that can never change as far as what is considered masculine and feminine. If that is true, then men should not be wearing pants either. Because God originally made Adam without pants. God originally made Adam a coat of skins. And according to Hebrew scholars, it went down possibly to the knees. It was like a dress. It was like a skirt. Should men today wear coats of skin like dresses to please God? No. Why? God does not require a particular time period of any culture to be the absolute standard of what is considered masculine or feminine apparel to be worn by all men and all women for all time. Ridiculous. If it were true, we would still be wearing animal skins. Be consistent. At the time of Jesus, I said men wore robes and skirts. Men would look ridiculous at the time of Jesus if they wore these pants I'm wearing today. In some countries today, a man can wear a skirt and absolutely look normal. But if he's a Christian, does that mean he's wearing that which pertaineth to a woman? Please tell the Scots to stop wearing their kilts. You're a Christian now, we don't wear those anymore. In Scotland, a kilt like dress or skirt is normal. But you take that over to America, we're all looking at you, man. What are you doing there? In America, we're like, don't think I'll be wearing that anytime soon. Be avoiding Scottish parties or whatever. Are we to determine what we wear based upon a set time period? No. The Bible never suggested at all. No commands for it. So it stands to reason that our present time period that we're living in determines what masculine and what feminine is in regards to apparel. In other words, modesty and culturally masculine apparel is what a man is free to wear as a Christian. And the same is true for a woman. What is modestly and culturally feminine apparel is what a woman is free to wear as a Christian woman. I believe the standard is based on what culture around you accepts as moral, reverent, and self-controlled. In Saudi Arabia, if you wore an American dress, I don't care how long it is, you would be stoned. If you wear a burqa in America, you're going to have a hard time getting an ID. You're going to have a hard time getting a driver's license. In fact, Turkey and Egypt have banned a burqa. In 2011, 66% of the British people supported banning the burqa in all public places. On September 2010, the French Senate overwhelmingly banned burqas in public. So when you're choosing a style of dress to wear, it is important to take into consideration the culture that you're living in. What is considered normal? What is considered acceptable? And it so happens to be in our world today that pants and slacks are acceptable apparel to women. And if you ask any Joe, Henry, Sanjay, Mr. Gupta, if you ask them on the streets, can you give me a list? And they have no agenda in their mind. You give me a list of what is proper apparel for a woman. I guarantee you pants will be on there. Well, one might say, well, if a woman wears pants, why can't men be free to wear dresses? Despite the fact that men did wear dresses in some parts of the world, they continue to wear skirts. Such apparel in our culture, in a Western culture, I should say, is not considered masculine. It would be immodest in our day for a man to dress like that in certain cultures, and therefore unacceptable. A set time period of clothing was never meant to be the absolute standard for what is considered modest apparel. The Scriptures leave it open relative to the time period and culture to decide. What about the temptation factor? Men are going to be more tempted to lust if they see women in pants. I find that the most ridiculous, as a man, I find that the most ridiculous, coming from the West especially, most ridiculous statement. It is ridiculous to say that slacks and pants are inherently more immodest than dresses and skirts. Both slacks and pants and dresses can be worn immodestly. Either way, I know no Western man who is automatically thrown into temptation because a woman wears pants. A man can be tempted to lust after a woman no matter what she's wearing. Men lusted after Sarah. Do you think Sarah was dressed immodestly? No. She was wearing what was acceptable, normal, and modest in her day and time. And men still saw her beauty. Modest apparel is different to the culture we live in and the times that we are living in. Unusually baggy clothes can be just as modest as extremely tight clothes. Avoid the extremes. Hear me this morning. Avoid the extremes. I love what one writer said. He says this: considering the relative nature of modesty, seeing the inconsistency to which strict overemphasis on non-essential points has led, and weighing all this in the light of the total spirit and example of Jesus, I think certain conclusions are apparent. The wisdom of a balanced view seems clear. We should avoid the extremes. Extremes draw attention. Extremes do not fit into the normal, the standard, the proper manners and customs, and therefore it is not modest. Even if you cover all your skin, extremism is the opposite of modesty. And modesty may take different looks, but it will always be modest. No matter what generation we're in or what current fashion may be, modest is modest. Modest clothes do not exploit the woman's body. Modest clothes do not exploit her features. Nor do modest clothes attempt to hide the woman's beauty. Extremes. I'm going to close here. So let's pray.